As a believer, God wants your life to count for eternity. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to make a difference with our lives for the cause of Christ.
In this hedonistic, wicked society in which we live, where children are being taught how to sin safely, and where young people are being taught that we're all here by an accident, and where they're being educated more by MTV than by the KJV or the Holy Word of God, it is time, my friend, that we erect some strong places in this country where young people can come and sense the glory of God in their lives.
How can we translate our concern for our country and the world into meaningful action? The answer is found in our series, Making a Difference. Through today's study, we will learn how to influence those around us and how to live a life that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The most effective way to make an impact on the world is to make an impact on individual people. If you want to learn how to share your faith with others and how to make a difference for eternity, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Making a Difference with a Willing Heart.
God has always intended that His people make a difference by being different. God has always intended that His people, wherever they are, make a difference by being different. That's why He called His children out of Egypt and unto Himself. His children were living, the children of Israel, in Egypt's land, and He sent Moses to Pharaoh, and some of you remember the story in the book of Exodus, and He said, I want my children to come out of Egypt, 3 days' journey, and I want them to worship Me there. God said, I want my children unto Myself, so that they can worship Me there. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Folks, I want you to let this sink in today. God loves you. He wants your full attention. He wants your full worship. He doesn't want to share your devotion with other gods and other idols. God wants your attention. I don't know about you. I get excited about that. I mean, to me, it's an honor that God wants me. He wants my attention. R. Kent Hughes, in his book, Set Apart, says, and I quote, a worldly church cannot and will not reach the world. A worldly church cannot and will not reach the world. I mean, think about it. If we're living and acting just like the world, if our lifestyle is reflecting the culture of this world, then if there is no difference, why would someone without Jesus want to come and know about Jesus Christ? God says, I want my people to live distinct lives in this world. The Bible says in Exodus 19 and verse 4, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto Myself, God says. God says, I brought you out of Egypt so that I could have you for Myself. Folks, I want you to get it this morning. God loves you and God wants you for Himself. Now, the only way that we will be different in this world is if we have an ongoing relationship with Him, as is described in John 15, an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of the main ways that God has made a difference in people's hearts is through worship. In other words, God says to us today, we are a church. The word church in the Greek is ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. So God says to us, like He said to the Old Testament children of Israel, I want you to come out from your everyday cares. I want you to come unto Me. And when you are with Me, I want you to worship Me. I want you to get to know Me. I want you to sing about Me. I want you to open My book. I want you to put aside the cares of the world. And I want us to get close. Psalm 34 and verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. And so throughout the Bible, God is calling people to Himself. He's saying, hey, I want your attention for a minute. Turn off the MTV. Get away from the workplace and the computer. Let's get together for a while. I want you to know who I am. And in order to accomplish this, throughout the Bible, God has given special times and special places for His people to get together. In the Old Testament, it was the Sabbath day or Saturday. In the New Testament, it is the first day of the week or Sunday. In the Old Testament, it was the temple or the tabernacle. In the New Testament, it's with assemblies of people like this today called churches. God says, I want you to get together with me at set times and at specific places so that you can know me and so that I can influence you. Now, in the early moments of God's history, he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And just after giving the Ten Commandments, he gave a blueprint to Moses for something called a tabernacle. The tabernacle was to rest in the midst of the children of Israel as the place where the Shekinah glory of God would reside, as the place where sacrifice would be made, and where God's people could have communion with him. I am told that the building of the tabernacle would cost, in today's economy, about $10 million. And so God was going to ask the people to have a part in building up the place of worship called the tabernacle. In Exodus 25 through 28, God gives the blueprint for the tabernacle. He describes the width and the breadth and the height. He tells everything he wants placed in the tabernacle. When you come to chapters 35 and 36 of the book of Exodus, God is giving the budget for the tabernacle. Now, something I have learned is that whenever there's a blueprint, there's normally a budget. Whenever you have a design or a plan, there's normally a cost associated with it. The budget is a guide to effective resource allocation for a particular project. And so God gave the blueprint earlier in Exodus, and now in our text this morning, God begins to give a budget and a way to provide for the tabernacle. Now, it is interesting to me, and I want you to notice this. God is a miraculous God. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. I mean, God parted the Red Sea. I mean, how many of you remember as little kids in Sunday school maybe hearing this story and Moses' rod and how the waters parted and how the children of Israel walked across on dry land and the soldiers of the Pharaoh went into the waters and the waters came back rather and they were drowned and destroyed. What a great miracle that was. I mean, an awesome miracle. Now, we serve a miracle working God. But listen, the God who parted the Red Seas could have just said, tabernacle exist. And the tabernacle could have, boom, appeared on the plains, and there was the place of worship just with the spoken word of God. How many of you believe God could have done it that way? It is within his power to do that. But God is going to ask Moses and a bunch of laid off brick workers to erect a $10 million structure where they could have worship. Now, why would God ask them to do that? Why would God allow us in Lancaster to have part in some of the stuff we're doing? You know why? Because God is a sovereign God. He knows the beginning from the end, and he gets glory when his people just trust him. Now, I'll tell you why God wanted the people to have a part in it. He could have just said, tabernacle, rise up, and it would have. But instead, he says, Moses, I want you to get everybody involved, and here's why. God wanted everybody's heart affixed to what was about to happen. You see, the New Testament says it this way, and it's in your notes, Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, and where the stock market plunders. No, it doesn't say that. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Notice this, for where your treasure is, there will your what? Based upon the authority of the Word of God, I tell you this morning that Moses challenged the people to have a part in this, not because God was incapable, but because God wanted everyone's heart to be involved in his work. God knew that if they were involved in giving, then they would be interested in what happened in that place. God knew that they would be attached to what was going on in that place. And so this morning, I want to share with you how to do God's work God's way. How we in this hour can make a difference if we will have willing hearts like the children of Israel did. Now let's get right into it this morning. If you have your outline, notice first of all, the declaration of the need. The declaration of the need. God needed someone to share the need, and that someone was a man by the name of Moses. And God brings Moses to the people in verse 4, and he says to them, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Now notice, if you would, the offering that was to be given is declared as a need by Moses, the man of God. It is in reference to, verse 11, the tabernacle or the tent that would be constructed. Now, what was the need then? What was the real need? First of all, is a place for the faith. They needed a place where the faith that was given to Moses could be kept and could be propagated. God had given to Moses the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Those tablets were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant needed a place of residence. It was to be kept in the tabernacle. And so we see here the place for the faith. It is called the tabernacle. I want you to notice very quickly with me the pattern of the tabernacle. I said to you a moment ago, the measurements are found in the book of Exodus, chapters 25 through 28. Now the pattern of the tabernacle is interesting. And notice, if you would, there is the outer court of the tabernacle. There is the inner court and the Holy of Holies. If any of you ever have an opportunity to visit Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's an all right place. It's a little bothersome. They have a lot of trees there, and it's hard to find your way around. But other than that, it's not a bad place. It's not as nice as this city. But if you were to visit there, you'd find a place that is called the Museum of the Tabernacle. It is a museum that is built and provided by the Mennonite people. Some of you maybe have heard of a man named Menno Simons. Menno Simons came over from Germany. He was called an Anabaptist and was affiliated as a Baptist forefather. And the Mennonites came to America seeking their religious freedom. And anyways, they built a beautiful replica of the tabernacle there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And well, inside the tabernacle, God said, Moses, there's some things I'm going to want there. I'm going to want the Ark of the Covenant there. The Ark of the Covenant was the place where Aaron's rod that budded was kept. And it was the place where the scriptures were kept. And on top of it, the mercy seat where the blood sacrifice was made on the Day of Atonement. There was also to be the altar of incense, which was a picture of Christ, the high priest. And the incense would burn up, symbolizing the prayers going up to heaven. There was thirdly the golden candlestick, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. There was the table of showbread, symbolizing Christ, the bread of life. There was then the brazen laver where the washing ceremonially would take place of the priest, signifying the cleansing work of Jesus Christ. And there was the brazen altar, symbolizing Christ, our sacrifice. And the brazen altar was also kept inside of the tabernacle. Let's go back now to the tabernacle, and we see the order of these various different pieces of furniture which were kept inside the tabernacle. All of this was a symbol of Jesus Christ, the Messiah to come. You see, every lamb that was slain, every time the blood was placed on top of the mercy seat, it was a picture of the Messiah to come, the Lamb of God who would come. That is why John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus Christ on the Jordan River shore, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." So this special place was for the faith, a place where the faith could be propagated from generation to generation, a place where people would be reminded of Jesus Christ. And that is why I put this quote in your notes, which says, "The most significant contribution we make in life is the passing of our faith to the next generation." The most significant contribution we make is the passing of our faith to the next generation. Well, here we see the need beginning to develop. The need was a place for the faith. Secondly, there was a need for a people for the faith. God said, "Moses, I want all the people to get involved in this. I want everyone to have a part in this." So Moses presents the need, and I want you to notice this, please, in verse 5 of Exodus 35 in our text. It says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it." Now Moses presented the need. This was his job. Moses was the one. God said, "Moses, I want you to tell the people to take an offering for this special place." And I want you to take note of this morning. Now, this matter of the tabernacle was not Moses' idea. It was God's idea. How many of you understand that this morning? It was Moses' job to share the need with everybody, but it was God's desire that he would have a place with His people. And I want you to take note this morning of this simple fact. The idea of reaching Lancaster and Palmdale with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not my idea. It is the Lord Jesus' mandate to us. And so as we challenge everyone to have a part in this work, and so this matter of evangelization and this matter of education from the Word of God, it's not our idea, folks. It is the Lord's idea that we are sharing even in this very hour, you see. So Moses was the man God chose to present the need to the people. In fact, you'll notice in Exodus 35, 29 there in your notes, it says in the latter portion of the verse, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now that is very important this morning, and I want to tell you why. It is very important that we understand this was not Moses' plan, this was God's plan. I'll tell you why. There's a little quote in your notes that'll help you with this. We either give by reason or by revelation. When it comes to the matter of giving, we will either give by reason or by revelation. Here's the point. God said, Moses, tell the people this is what I want them to do. So what we are here to do is see what does the Bible say and then respond to the revealed Word of God. We will either respond to the revealed Word of God or we will rationalize our way into our own philosophy of how these things should be done. Now, I don't envy for 1 minute Moses' job. I just want you to think about this for a minute. Moses, as the man of God, had the responsibility to tell a bunch of wandering, laid-off brick workers that they needed to give $10 million for this place. What a job. But you know what Moses was? He was the mouthpiece of God. He was simply just saying what God had told him to reveal. Sometimes as pastors, we are not the mouthpiece of God. The Word of God now is that. God's Word speaks clearly to us. But as we expound and as we teach upon the Word of God, it is our job as pastors to challenge the people of God to go forward in the work of God. I heard of one pastor preaching along these lines to his church family, and he said, folks, he said, our church is just an infant church. He said, I believe what God wants our church to do is to get up and start to crawl. And one man on the front row said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. He said, after that, I believe God wants our church to start to walk. I mean, to really walk. And the man on the front row said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And the preacher kept on preaching. He said, I believe what God wants our church to do, I believe God wants our church to run. And the man on the front row said, let it run then, preacher, let it run. And the preacher said, now, it's going to take some money for this church to run. And the man on the front row said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. That's what a lot of Baptists say. Let it walk. Moses presented the need. Notice the people provided the resources. Notice this in verse 5, if you would. Take ye from among you. Do you see those two words? From among you. From among us. You see, he said, this is going to be something that God does through his people. And so we see the declaration of the need. They needed two things. Number one, they needed a place for worship. Number two, they needed a people who would participate. And Moses was the one to bring this to the attention of the people. Notice secondly this morning, not only the declaration of the need, but secondly, the determination of the people. I love this part. And I want you to see it right from the Bible, verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. Now notice, if you will, first of all, if you're taking notes, the people were willing to yield to God. Every one of these people, the Bible calls them in these verses, willing people. The Spirit made them willing people. A faithful Christian steward is someone then who trusts God with their whole heart. Now the Bible is very clear on this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You see, the Christian life is about trusting God. And here we see these people yielding their heart to the Lord and trusting him. Notice the parallel passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God says, I want you to have a willing heart or a willing mind. And he says, I'm going to allow you to have a part of this work as you have a willing heart or a willing mind. Now, here's the problem, and you know it already. Many people in America do not have a willing heart. They do not have a willing mind. And so this is why what happens here in Exodus 35 is so extraordinary, that so many people willingly got involved. In fact, a recent Barna research poll indicated that only 8% of all Christians in America tithe. Tithe is the 10%. We're not talking about a tithe right now. This is an offering which is above the tithe. But only 8% of Christians give 10%, which is the basic point. Barna said it's due many times to hedonistic lifestyle. It's due to materialism. It's due to being in the clutches of consumerism. And if you're in the clutches of consumerism, it's hard to be a steward of what God is giving to you, because you're not even thinking about what God wants you to do with that. You're thinking about only what you want to do. Hence, only 8% of American Christians tithe. But these people were the opposite of that. They had a yielded heart to be involved in the work of God. But you know what? They not only had a yielded heart, I want you to see this, they also had yielded hands. Now notice this in verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now notice they have yielded hands. Again, why is that? Because they had willing hearts. Now, I want you to really see this phrase, willing hearts, because that's what God wants today. He wants willing hearts. He is more concerned about your heart than the amount of your offering. He wants your heart to be willing. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, what he says. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Now, again, please get the difference here. God is not demanding that they give in this offering. Now, the tithe is different. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, the tithe is the Lord's. Let's say that together. The tithe, in other words, God set that out right on the table for everyone to see. The tithe is the Lord's. He makes it very clear in Malachi 3 that when someone doesn't tithe, Malachi 3, 9, you're robbing God. I don't write it, folks. I just recite it. That's what God says about not tithing. How many of you would agree the Bible's pretty straightforward about tithing? All right. Very, very straightforward. But now in this special offering, he says, I want people who are willing to give, I want them to do this if they're of a willing heart. So why did God not demand that they give to the tabernacle? And I believe simply for this reason. God knew that if people were forced, human nature is that someone would become bitter or angry. That's why I've said over the years, if you're going to give grudgingly, don't give. I don't need you getting mad at me about it. As I said earlier, it's not between you and me anyways. This is God's word we're preaching this morning. But the fact of the matter is, God wanted them to do it willingly so that they wouldn't feel like God was being a bully to them. And people give with different attitudes. And I think you know that. Some people, they give to the Lord sort of like they give to the IRS. Like, oh boy, I better give or I'll probably get caught, you know. And so they kind of, you know, well, here you go, all right, here's the check, here you go, all right, I did it. I think that's the opposite of being a cheerful giver. Some people give like they're giving an engagement ring to their fiance. Willing hearts. Hearts that come because God has worked. Now let me tell you what, the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our giving. The more passionate our love for the Lord, the more consistent our giving to the Lord. These two concepts are inseparable. Spiritual passion for God and a willing heart are inseparable. And friend, the fact of the matter is today that our giving is always a reflection of what's going on in our heart. If our giving is on and off, up and down, that's a reflection of what our heart's doing. If our giving is non-existent, that's a reflection of something in the heart. Here it is, folks. The existence of and the passion of your faith has a direct correlation to the passion of your giving.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.